You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, you know who I am. I am Constance Arnold, host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And today, I am broadcasting from magnificent, beautiful, awesome Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm so grateful that you've joined me today. I believe that the Spirit of God has attracted you here so that you can receive the downloads, the revelation, the enlightenment that you've been praying for, seeking. And as I always say, one word from God or Spirit can change your life. So I'm excited about the show today. Well, I have been doing well. It's a busy time for me, but a great time. And guess what? After all of these years, I finally have learned that it's not the accomplishment of something, it's the journey. And so I'm enjoying myself as I am preparing for many great and exciting things. And today, I'm blessed to have on my show, you're going to be really blessed, Leonard Perlmutter. And he is the founder and director of the American Meditation Institute. And he has, boy, for the last 39 years been teaching and practicing meditation and the science of yoga. So, wow, I want you to stay tuned to hear what he has to say. But really quickly, thank you so much for all of your emails. I'm so grateful that this show is changing your life. It's such an encouragement when I read them and people say, well, I live. And I received one letter from North Korea. And I'm going to be coaching this particular person. And it's just so interesting to hear from you. And I know this show is changing your life. And of course, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And my website is fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And while you are on my website, you can click the red donate button. And thanking you in advance for your donation. All of the people who made a donation this week, you are helping me to really shift and change the lives of others. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about my upcoming yearly, I'm going to call it a retreat. It's an intimate, up close, and personal 2-day adventure. That's what I want to say. And why not make 2017 the year that changes everything? So I really want to invite all of you, but I can't because I'm only taking 30 people. And I've already had 5 people this week that said, yes, I'm coming. But I want to invite you to be my private guest at my upcoming Success from the Inside retreat. And so you're going to be spending 2 days with me. I'm going to say they're going to be transformational days, really, where you can be up close and receive personal mentorship from me. And so that's why I am really just choosing 30 people. So I believe that you will be in a very private, intimate setting with like-minded people. And that's really interesting. I already have one person coming from Japan, and I'm going to really help you create a life beyond your wildest dreams. So who needs to attend this conference? Let me see your hands. Are you a wisdom seeker and a change maker? Raise your hand. I'm going to say anyone who's motivated to move past their inner blocks, their excuses, their limiting beliefs, and life circumstances that have been holding them back from manifesting their dreams. Any entrepreneurs who are ready to take their life, their happiness, and of course, their income to next level living, this is for you. You know, last, I think, last time I had my conference here in Atlanta, while so many remarkable things happened, so many people said, Constance, after that breakthrough conference, people were crying. It was emotional, but we need more than emotions. But what happened was people really experience a breakthrough in their thinking, and as a result, so many things have happened. One person has released 100 pounds, another person is heavily into real estate and is making so much money, another person has become a speaker, etc. So, what's going to go down during this retreat? It's not going to be a lot of hype. It's going to be some motivation, but it's going to be actually work where you're doing the work. What's going to be accomplished at the retreat? I'm going to say this is just a couple of things. Identifying and changing your limiting beliefs once and for all. Everybody say yay. Changing your old paradigms, how to move through fear. Just creating a better health, radical happiness, and just well-being. And then I'm going to help you to create a plan for your number one goal. And not just this big vision, but a step-by-step plan, a measurable, a realistic, a daily, monthly, a quarterly steps to move you from where you are to where you want to be. So it's your choice. I believe that by the time that this airs, that this will be on my website. And of course, you can take a look at the personal investment. You can pay in full, or I've created what I call a personal investment installment plan for you. So that's going to be when? August the 11th through the 13th here in Hotlanta. We're going to be downtown. The specific location has not been finalized yet, but probably over the next couple of weeks it will be. And as I said, if you're flying in, you can fly into the busiest airport in the world. And the train that comes directly into the airport will take you directly downtown, just 2 to 3 blocks from where the retreat would be held. And I love doing it like that so that you don't have to rent a car. You're right in the middle of just some wonderful, exciting things happening. And I'm really excited about it. You know, in 2016, I didn't do a retreat. I just did not feel led. But when the Spirit moves me, that is a sign to me that people are really ready for change. I know in my life, there were a couple of retreats and seminars that really shifted and changed the direction of my life. One in particular was I flew out to California, spent 5 days with Marshall Weider and about 30 other people at Dream University. That was a life-changing retreat for me, just the light bulb. And so many areas just like came on in my life, in my thinking. That's what I'm believing for you, that you will have an encounter with the Spirit, that it will be downloaded to you, the how-tos, and you will leave with a plan that you can begin to implement and execute immediately. So, would love to meet you. So this is once again my very intimate, up close and personal 2-day adventure success from the inside out retreat. Well, let's see. I think that is about it. I'm gonna go to these commercials, and wow, you need to just stay tuned because we're gonna be talking about the heart and science of yoga and meditation. So, stay tuned. I got that out.
Do you have an upcoming event where you need a dynamic speaker? Constance Arnold is a sought-after keynote speaker that will enlighten the entire audience with proven strategies that are aligned with your organization's vision and mission. An experienced speaker for major Fortune 500 companies, Constance has entertained audiences with inspiring change. Constance would love to make your next event an extraordinary success. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Do you have an upcoming event where...
For the past 30 years, Constance Arnold has coached clients globally in the areas of relationships, wealth, and career. Her vast clinical background gives her extraordinary understanding of human behavior to accelerate manifestation. Every coaching client receives proven action plans to create change from the inside out. Constance will be right by your side. Talk to her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I'm back and I'm really honored and excited about my guest today. My very special guest is Mr. Leonard Perlmutter, and he is the founder and director of the American Meditation Institute in New York. He is one of the Western world's pioneers in the introduction of meditation into our culture. He's author and editor of Transformation, the Journal of Meditation as Mind-Body Medicine. But today he's here to talk about his new book, The Heart and Science of Yoga, the American Meditation Institute's Empowering Self-Care Program for a Happy, Healthy, Joyful Life. It's like an encyclopedia, actually. And so his book has been endorsed by luminaries such as Dr. Oz and Dr. Dean Ornish and many, many more. And over the past 39 years, can you believe that, he served on many faculties of various educational institutions and has presented workshops on the benefits of meditation and yoga science all over the globe. And I can truly say that I believe that your life will never be the same again. So, Leonard, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Well, it's truly my pleasure. Thank you, Constance.
Well, I said before we started the recording, when I read your bio, which I only just shared just a tiny bit, I said thank you for who you are, who you've become, and how you are changing the world.
Well, it's been a pleasure. The journey has been a surprise for me, and yet it's been thoroughly enjoyable. I love sharing this teaching because it has meant so much to me personally. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
So share with our listeners across the globe, learning just a little bit about your own journey in meditation. And I love science of yoga. I just love that. Share with the listeners your personal journey.
Well, as a young person, I was always very philosophically oriented, although I was not educated in philosophy at a young age, of course. But I had a philosophical perspective on things from a very early age. And in my young adult life, I dealt with some pain, some physical pain, some emotional pain, as all children do growing up. The one difference with me was I sort of felt like I had an allergic reaction to the pain. I didn't care for it. And I was very curious if I could find a way to ameliorate and reduce the intensity of the pain physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I started reading about different religions. And what I began to understand was they all seemed to really be based on the same eternal truth, that there's only one absolute supreme reality, we call it God, and that we are a part of that manifestation. And as long as we can unite with that eternal truth that is within us, that is us, we will experience happiness, we will experience health, we will experience loving, nurturing, creative relationships, we will experience security to the fullest extent possible. And then I found yoga science, and it seemed to me that yoga science was the origin of every single religion on the planet. Yoga science is not a religion, but it is an educational body of knowledge that teaches us who we are, from where we have come, why we are here, what is to be done, and where we will go when the body dies. It not only teaches us those things, it teaches us in every relationship how to be, what's to be done, and what's not to be done. And that is a tremendous gift.
Oh, it is, it is. So explain to our listeners, what do you mean when you say yoga is essentially a science? I know you shared just a bit, but I can hear listeners all over the world thinking, I thought yoga was just a form of exercise. So explain, what do you mean by yoga is essentially a science?
Well, certainly the most familiar aspects of yoga are physical exercises, and that's important because we have a body. And we need to exercise a body because we are living what might be considered a marathon as opposed to a sprint. But we have a lot of different kinds of relationships beyond just the body. And so the word yoga, from the Sanskrit language, it means union. So yoga, from what I understand about yoga science, yoga itself is considered a metaphoric bridge. It's a bridge that connects our outer actions, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds to our own inner wisdom. And the more that we can harmonize our thoughts, words, and actions with our own inner intuitive wisdom, we are enabled to fulfill the purpose of life without pain, misery, or bondage. And so yoga is the science that provides a template. It's like a blueprint to verify the truth and refute the non-truth in every relationship. Because in every relationship, it means that we have to take an action. It could be a physical action, could be a verbal action, could be a mental action. But regardless of the form of the action that we have to take when we have a relationship, there's always a consequence. So I started asking myself, well, what is the consequence that I want to experience in every relationship, regardless of the circumstance? And depending on how you define certain words, certain concepts, I came to the conclusion that, gee, I would like to be happy. I would like to be healthy. I would like to be secure. I would like to have access to loving, nurturing, creative relationships. And what I found out was that the more that I relied on the teaching of yoga science, the more that I was able to let go of old habits, let go of things that I feared, let go of things that the personality became angry about, let go of desires that represented some form of insecurity or compensation that all conflicted with my inner wisdoms. If I were able to sacrifice those forces that had previously been stored in my unconscious mind, all of a sudden I felt better. I felt better physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And because I felt that way, and I experienced that truth, it has been my life's mission is simply to share it. I will parenthetically mention that I'm not interested in convincing people of anything. The only thing that I'm interested in is to share this teaching, this science, and ask people one question. Are you curious enough to experiment with this science by yourself? Because you see, if you listen to somebody from far away on the radio, anything that they say, including what I am saying today, it's all hearsay. So I'm not trying to convince anybody. All I'm saying is, this worked for me. Are you interested enough to experiment within the laboratory of your own life? If you are, I know that you will experience happiness and health and security to the greatest extent possible.
Well, you know, Leonard, I'm in everybody. I have listeners all over the globe. And just what you shared, I mean, everybody wants joy, at peace, yes. purpose and the highest good to manifest in their lives.
Yes.
And so that's why I just love your work, because I believe that the people are searching. And I love it that everybody has to try it and own it for themselves.
Well, that's right. Human beings must experience something for themselves in order to really own it, to trust it, to have faith in it. Otherwise, it's a mere belief. And if you just have a mere surface-level belief, you're still going to be subject to fear that I might lose what I have, or the fear that I might not get what I want. But if you actually do the experiment, if you, in a situation where an action is called for, if you can align your thoughts, words, and actions with your own inner wisdom, then the consequence will lead you for your highest and greatest good. And of course, the opposite is true. If you have no philosophy of life, if you have no metaphoric bridge in your life, regardless of what you call it, you don't have to call it yoga. You could call it Christianity. You could call it Judaism. You could call it Buddhism. You could call it Hinduism. You could call it Islam. You could call it any one of the ancient traditions. But the key to all of them is counsel within and then act without. And if we can do that, we're led for our highest and greatest good. Yeah,
so true. Well, let's talk about meditation, because when people hear that word, they're like, I got to sit in a certain pose and say, explain the power and the benefits of meditation. And what would that look like in someone's daily life?
Well, to be honest with you, we meditate, everybody meditates on some level every day. Meditation is simply the one-pointed, concentrated attention on one object. So it could be eating an ice cream cone. It could be watching a fantastic movie. It could be falling in love with a man or a woman or loving a child. It could be reading a fantastic book. Whatever that experience is that you love, you actually love it because the energy of your mind is automatically focused like a laser to the exclusion of everything else. So in yoga science, meditation is the key to train the mind to go beyond the unconscious concepts that are stored in our mind that are not true. So you don't need to sit cross-legged on the floor. You can sit in a chair as long as your head, neck, and trunk are straight. And you concentrate in the cave of the heart, midpoint of the center of the chest. You're not looking there. You are there. And you just listen to a mantra. Just the name of Jesus is a mantra. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Or Ave Maria, Ave Maria, Ave Maria. Every single religion has different mantras. In Judaism, Baruch Atah Adonai, Baruch Atah Adonai. In Hinduism, Rama, Rama, Rama. In Islam, Allah, Allah, Allah. Now, even though these mantras might sound different, they all do three things as a consequence. Remember, you can't take an action without having a consequence. So a mantra is a word or series of words containing the name of the Supreme Reality, whom we refer to as God. And when we give that our one-pointed conscious attention, three things happen. Number one, we experience love. Number two, we experience fearlessness. And number three, we experience strength. Love, fearlessness, and strength. Now, these are three factors that we need to be successful in life. to be able to deal with all of our duties and responsibilities in life. And all we have to do is sit quietly for 60 seconds listening to a mantra. And automatically, in the unconscious mind, strategic reserves of love and fearlessness and strength are deposited, deposited, deposited every time that we meditate. Wow. It's a game changer.
It is. It is. I know you talk about how stillness is the divine physician.
Yes.
You know, what I remember a hip-hop mogul said there's profit in stillness.
Yes.
And he was saying, Russell Simmons, he was saying when he meditates, ideas are downloaded to him that make him profitable financially. So talk about stillness and the benefits of just being still in a very busy world for many of us.
Well, first of all, I think that we have to admit to one thing. We are very rarely still. Mm. We consider ourselves human beings, but it would be more appropriate to call us human doings. We are constantly on the go, and the culture encourages us to be running at 100 miles an hour in the passing lane of life. So even when we go to sleep, we are constantly moving. Many of you might have seen videos of people who have a hard time sleeping, and they go to a sleep therapy center, and they videotape them during the night, and the video looks like a Charlie Chaplin movie. People are constantly, we constantly turn from one side to the other on our back, on our tummy. And so we're constantly moving, so we're very rarely still, even when we want to be still. But if we can be still physically, calm the breath, have the mind focused, the entire autonomic nervous system gets a signal that everything is okay. There is no threat. And all of the internal organs can take a huge exhalation. Oh my gosh, that's terrific, the liver says. That's wonderful, says the pancreas, say the lungs, says the heart. But if we're constantly running, 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 and doing, 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 without a rest of stillness, then we're going to wear out the machinery. I often ask people who come to classes, I ask them, did you drive your automobile or your truck here? And they say yes. And then I ask them, and did you leave it running? Oh, no, why would I do that? They all would say. I said, well, do you ever turn off the engine of your mind? No, we never turn it off. Even when we sleep, we're dreaming. And so we're not taught to respect and train the mind, which is the key to everything. When I say it's the key to everything, we've heard of this phrase, mind-body connection. But still, because of the limitation of our brain and our senses, we still think of mind and body as separate. But I'd like to ask you, Constance, and all of your listeners today, to try to do an experiment with me. I'd like to ask you to raise your right hand over your head. But before you try to do it, I want you to raise your right hand over your head without entertaining a thought and see if you can do it. Can you raise your right hand over your head without first entertaining a thought?
I couldn't.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Now, there's plenty of muscles supporting the arm and the hand, but those muscles are not going to contract appropriately. The hand is not going to go up over your head unless and until you entertain a thought. So the point is what? The point is that the mind moves first. The body follows. That's very powerful. The mind moves first. The body follows. So meditation concentrates on the mind. What kind of thoughts are we thinking? You see, we hear a lot of conversation these days about junk food. Oh, how bad junk food is. Well, you know what's worse than junk food? Junk thoughts.
So true.
Junk thoughts. Because junk thoughts, I'm talking about fear, I'm talking about anger, I'm talking about self-willed desire. These junk thoughts become our words. These junk thoughts become our actions. And our thoughts and our words and our actions all lead to consequences. So if we want to be happy and we want to be healthy, we want to be secure, we better inspect our thoughts. Only serve those thoughts that have the good housekeeping seal of approval of our own inner wisdom. What? How do we access that inner wisdom? Through our conscience. Early Christians referred to it as the Holy Spirit. Human beings, unlike every other animal, we have a conscience. What is the conscience? Did we ever learn in school what use the conscience is? Well, the conscience acts as a mirror. That's right. It has a reflective capacity. Our conscience, which is known in Sanskrit, the Indian language of spirit, it's known as the buddhi. But our conscience can reflect perfect wisdom from the center of consciousness. Our conscience can reflect wisdom from what yoga science refers to as the superconscious portion of the mind. Now, the superconscious portion of the mind is beyond the conscious, and it's beyond the unconscious. It's the same portion of the mind where Albert Einstein saw mathematical equations, where Paul McCartney or Stevie Wonder might hear beautiful melodies. Doesn't mean that I'm going to become a songwriter. Doesn't mean, Constance, that you're going to become a physicist. What it does mean is that if you can create a bridge of yoga in your life where your outer actions reflect your inner wisdom, when you go and counsel within, counsel with your conscience can reflect super conscious wisdom that will positively and expansively affect every single unique relationship that you have.
I mean, just listening to you talk, Leonard, everybody desires
that's
what
right.
you're sharing. I mean, it's innate within all of us.
That's correct.
And so how can listeners on a daily basis and in a practical way begin to implement some yoga science steps into their daily lives? What would that look like?
Well, it must coincide with the highest principle of all of yoga. The highest principle of all of yoga is a Sanskrit word that says ahimsa. Hmm. What does that mean, ahimsa? It means non-injury, non-harming, non-violence. Non-injury, non-harming, non-violence. Every thought, every word, every act must be non-injurious. What does that mean in relationship to the question that you just asked? It means that when you start your meditation practice, when you start to work with the science of yoga, you should not take on too much too soon. You should start with seemingly insignificant no-brainers. So here's what I mean. Let's just say that it's 10 o'clock at night and you're watching a little TV before you go to bed. And on the television is a coffee commercial. And the ego and the senses and the unconscious mind all start to chime in and tell you, let's go into the kitchen and have a cup of coffee.
Ah.
Okay? So the ego is all set to go. The senses are ready. And our unconscious habits are ready to go into the kitchen to make a cup of coffee. What does the conscience say? The conscience might say to me, now look, Leonard, you know that the caffeine in the coffee is going to keep you up. You need a good night's sleep. You have an early appointment in the morning. If you want to have the same conversation tomorrow morning at 9 or 10 o'clock, I might give you a different reply, says the conscience. But right now, you're being asked to sacrifice that desire. And if you can sacrifice that desire at 10 o'clock at night for a cup of coffee so that your outer actions reflect your inner wisdom, you'll increase your energy, your willpower, and your creativity. And if you listen to your mantra, you'll create love and fearlessness and strength. So this becomes an equation for success in the world, for happiness, for health, and security.
What other steps can listeners begin to take so that they can really begin to create a joyful, peaceful, and a life of happiness and contentment?
Well, one of the most powerful aspects of yoga science that has been very liberating for me is just the understanding that every single thought that comes into our awareness is only a suggestion of what to give our attention to. It is not an imperial command. Every thought is only a suggestion. So if somebody offers you chocolate-covered poison, are you obligated to accept it?
No.
Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. And yet, without examining our thoughts, our desires, and our emotions, that's exactly what we do. When we eat too much sugar, it becomes poison in our system. When we become angry, the hormones are poisoning our entire physiology. So who does anger hurt? It doesn't hurt the person with whom I am angry. It's hurting me. So if I'm driving down the highway, going into work, and I'm very responsible when I'm driving, and some fellow going about 75, 80 miles an hour cuts me off in traffic and I have to slam on my brake so that I can avoid an accident, what happens is a little bubble from one of those little channels in my unconscious mind comes forward into my conscious mind and I am aware of anger. What am I going to do with that anger? Am I going to serve it in conflict with my own inner wisdom? Or am I going to sacrifice it? You see, the inherent power of anger is not bad, nor is it good. The power of anger, the power of fear, the power of greed is my creative energy in forms that are debilitating and contractive and hurtful. So instead of serving those kinds of thoughts, desires, and emotions, what I'm being asked to do is to sacrifice them, offer them back to the origin from which they came. What is the origin from which they came? Well, there's only one supreme reality that manifests everything. So if in real time, when I'm cut off in traffic and I experience anger, if I can honor, witness, and sacrifice that anger, the debilitating and contractive, destructive power of that anger can be transformed into strategic reserves of energy, willpower, and creativity. Sacrifice is the mechanism for transformation. We know that energy cannot be created nor destroyed, but it can be transformed. We learned that in grade school. We all remember doing the little experiment. Ice with a certain amount of heat can be transformed into water. Water with a certain amount of heat can be transformed into gas. So if I gave you, Constance, if I gave you 20 gallons of crude oil from Saudi Arabia and I put it into your automobile, well, you'd be very upset. It would wreck your engine. It would cost you $5,000 or $10,000 to get the automobile fixed. Why? Because crude oil does not work in a combustion engine. But crude oil is energy. it can be transformed. So before I put that crude oil into your automobile tank, what if I send it to Texas to a refinery and I ask those folks at that Texas refinery to refine that crude oil into gasoline, which is doable? And then when I got the gasoline back, if I put that into your automobile, you'd be very happy. So fear is energy. Anger is energy. Greed is energy. But it's energy that is destructive and harmful. But through a sacrificial act, if I can take that fear, take that anger, take that selfish desires, those desires, and sacrifice them back to the supreme reality, aka God, from which they all came, from which everything comes, then the supreme reality will bless me with strategic reserves of energy and willpower and creativity to help me fulfill the purpose of my life.
So how do we sacrifice, let's just use, for example, anger back to God? What would that look like? Would a person just make a decision? I can choose my reality and I can choose not to scream at the person who just pulled in front of me and didn't have their blinker on. What do you mean by sacrificing that back to God?
Well, we've heard the expression, I and my Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot become one with the Lord unless and until we have a relationship with the Lord. So what I suggest, and this is what I do, if somebody cuts me off in traffic and I'm aware of anger, I create a space between the stimulus and response. I start to slow down. I know that this is an important relationship because the energy is very powerful. I know I can feel it. You know, my whole body is vibrating with the anger. Okay, so what I do is I try to create a little space between stimulus and response. In that space between stimulus and response, before I act on the anger, I now have the freedom to redirect my attention to my conscience. And I ask the conscience, is this anger something that I should act on or should sacrifice back to the Lord?
Yeah.
And now my conscience is going to say, don't serve it, don't think about it anymore, don't speak about it, don't act on it, but offer it back. So then I have a little conversation with the Lord. Dear Lord, right now I am aware of a tremendous amount of anger. And yet I know my highest and greatest good is served by serving you. And I hear you speaking to me through my conscience, asking me to sacrifice this. So in my hand, I have this anger. Please accept it as a loving gift of a loving and a dedicated seeker. Please take it. Please transform it. Purify this instrument that I might do thy will and lead me for my highest and greatest good.
Wow. Well, you know, one of the main questions, you know, that I receive from listeners all over the world is about wealth, abundance, and prosperity. And so I was telling a friend of mine that I was doing the interview today with you, and he was saying, I would be interested to see what he has to say about yoga science, meditation, and attracting or manifesting wealth, prosperity, or money into our lives.
Well, prosperity, money is just energy, isn't it? It's just energy. And we, you know, if the truth be told, we need energy to live, right? So how are we going to get that? How are we going to get what we need? So Jesus has a bit of a formula. It's based on the core teaching of the ancient Hebrew tradition. Jesus puts it this way: seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things are added unto you. Okay, so there's a definite sequence of events that has to take place. And that's about the bridge of yoga. The bridge of yoga asks us to counsel within, use our conscience to find out what the supreme reality wants us to think, speak, and act. And the more that we think, speak, and act, as our conscience is prompting us. And the more that we sacrifice our attachments and our habits that conflict with inner wisdom, the promise is we will receive what we need. It might not be what we want, but it will always be what we need to fulfill the purpose of our lives. That would include money. That would include the wealth to support us so that we, in the midst of every relationship, can be of service.
You know, you seem very humble. I talked to you before we actually started recording to thank you for who you are and what you're doing for the world. And I looked at some of your accomplishments. For example, your AMI courses are now approved and accredited by the American Medical Association and the American Nurses Association. So, I mean, those are quite awesome accomplishments. So how do you deal with, you know, just all of the success and notoriety of what you have accomplished?
Well, I can only speak from my heart and tell you that I don't believe that I have accomplished anything. Mm-hmm. What I have set out to do is to be in service to the supreme reality as best as I can. It's not 100%. I'm a human being, you know. I have unconscious fears and anger and self-willed desires that sometimes hijack me, okay, like every human being. But it is my intention, as often as possible, to remember that I am a child of the Lord and that my job here as a human being on this plane of existence is to bring forth this truth that is reflected into my conscious mind through my conscience and make it my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. And if something develops from that, it's not my glory, it's His.
Mm-hmm. And so you sound very peaceful and calm. Do people tell you that a lot?
I have heard that, but you know, sometimes I get very emotional too. I mean, it's not like I become some kind of a automaton.
I got you.
Okay, I'm a human being. You know, there was a wonderful little teaching story. A student asked a Swami once, "Sir, do you ever get angry?" And he said, "No, my son, I never get angry." And then the student really couldn't believe what his ears were saying to him, and so he asked the teacher again, "Sir, you never get angry?" "No, my son, I never get angry. Never, 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 never." Do you get the message? So even this great teacher, this Swami, who proclaims that he never gets angry, when his buttons are pushed, also expresses anger.
So true. So how can yoga science and the AMI meditation really help to bring about world peace? I mean, we all know what's going on in the U.S.
Yes.
Wow, and globally. So how can all of the listeners, all of the globe, how can we come together and really help to establish world peace?
Well, we will never be able to establish world peace by moving the chess pieces on a chessboard. We just a couple of moments ago did a yoga science experiment that said the mind moves first and the body follows. Mm-hmm. So if you want to experience peace in the world, on the chessboard, so to speak, if you want to experience peace and that's something that you value, you first have to experience peace in your own mind. Mm-hmm. What that means is I have to let go of my fear. I have to let go of my anger. I have to let go of my own selfish desires. And the way I do that is in the midst of relationships. That's the value of relationship. Every single relationship that comes to us comes with a purpose. First of all, it is the consequence of a previous action. that is now bringing me an opportunity to self-examine and let go of some fear that I never could get rid of before, let go of some anger that I couldn't let go of before, let go of some insecure greed that I couldn't let go of before. And the more that I do that, I purify my own mind, my own instrument, so there is an evenness of my mental capacity. That evenness of mind, that peace, is part of an ocean of consciousness. So if I can purify my own instrument, purify my own mind, I, in effect, am changing the whole, you see, because there's only one consciousness. Even though we have different bodies, we have different minds, we have different personalities, we have different habit patterns, the light of Christ that is within you is also within me, so to speak. The consciousness within you is within me. So if I purify my instrument, we change the consciousness of the planet. So you can imagine, if everybody we knew began to practice yoga science and meditation and built a bridge, a metaphoric bridge that encouraged us and inspired us and taught us how to let go of our fear, let go of our anger, let go of our selfish desires, then what we experience in the world will be entirely different, because it will be a reflection of what we're thinking.
Yeah. Oh, that's so powerful.
Yeah.
So, Leonard, tell listeners about your book, about the American Meditation Institute. Tell us about that. How can people find that? What is your website? When your PR person sent me, I call it an encyclopedia, a manual, a Bible. It's over 500 and something pages. It was so thorough. I was like, wow, I could study this for the rest of my life.
Well, I am studying it for the rest of my life. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. The book and as well as the classes that I teach and the American Meditation Institute are all byproducts of my own personal practice. I did not set out to write a book. I did not set out to teach a class. I did not set out to start the American Meditation Institute. These are all things that just developed spontaneously through my relationships, my interest in basing my outer actions on my inner wisdom. And the grace that came led me, inspired me to sit down at the computer and write what I practice. And that became the book. And what I practiced is the only thing that I felt qualified to teach. And we started having students come, and so we had to come up with a name. Well, we wanted something that reflected the culture from which we live and were raised. This is the American Meditation Institute. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we have a rich tradition here, this American experience, this melting pot. So that means that there's a lot of different kinds of relationships. That provides us fantastic opportunities to purify our instrument. Not to give in to anger, not to give in to fear, not to give in to selfish desires. Uh-huh. But rather to base outer action on inner wisdom, so that we can really create a more perfect union.
And so your website is AmericanMeditation.org, or they could go on Amazon to get your book, The Heart and Science of Yoga?
That is correct. Any of the Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, AmericanMeditation.org, any of those will get the book into your hands.
Well, you know, I could just sit and listen to you just forever. And you have so much wisdom that just comes out of your spirit, and I know it's really penetrating the souls of all my listeners. So in closing, I'm putting you on the spot now, Leonard. What one thing would you like to leave with listeners all over the world?
Well, if I might, I'd like to quote Shakespeare.
Okay.
Who actually, I mean, he was a great author, but he was also a yogi. He was a yoga scientist. And we're all familiar with this quote, and it's the basis of all of yoga science. When Shakespeare wrote, "Above all else, to thine own self be true." Mm-hmm. Above all else, to thine own self be true. So before you commit your assets to think a thought, speak a word, or take an action that is definitely going to bring about a consequence that can lead you in one direction or the other, counsel within. Ask your higher self. Ask the supreme reality. What is the thought to think? What is the word to speak? What is the action to take that will lead me for my highest and greatest good? And the more that we do that, more consistently that we do that, we will become prophets of love.
So powerful, Linda. Thank you so much for sharing with the world today. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And as I say every Sunday, you may not feel it or know it, but you are surrounded by love. God loves you. I love you. And as I say every week, today, it's the best day of your life. Believe it.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Seek it out.